This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by DesignCrowd.com. DesignCrowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web designs from designers around the world. DesignCrowd has more than 500,000 designers from Sydney to San Francisco ready to help you with awesome creative ideas. So get the perfect custom design every time. Check out designcrowd.com to learn more and receive your Enterprise Radio $100 VIP offer when you start your next project.
You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Oliver Muir, CEO of Serene. Serene gives corporations the ability to better manage software development by making invisible software visible. Mr. Muir, thanks for joining us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So a software management is becoming more and more of a headache for businesses, as we hear often, even on this show. How does your product solve the problems associated with software?
Well, I think, first of all, software is awesome, right? Software is driving innovation. Software is driving new products, new services, and even, you know, disrupting the whole markets and industries. So, you know, we're living in a world where, you know, a 30-person startup can write a new piece of software that changes the way people communicate or do banking, which, you know, would have not been possible 10, 15, 20 years ago. Now, you know, it's all great, and all this innovation is great if you have a green field and you can dream up new things and you can start writing code from scratch. But, you know, what if you're a bigger company and you have already code in-house? You know, to give you an example, some of our bigger customers have thousands of different applications internally. A bank I just talked to has about 2 billion lines of code. That's almost the same, if not more, lines of code than Google has, right? And that's the amount of code a bank who's not in the software business yet has to manage. So now if you think that you have thousands of applications, you have millions or even billion lines of code, you also have people working in it, right? So you have hundreds or thousands of developers, and they all might be, you know, probably a blend between obviously internal developers that are globally distributed, so in the US, in Europe, in India, in Asia, as well as external developers, all your third parties that help you code. So your consulting firms, your outsourcing firms, and so forth. And so you have all this. You have thousands of applications, millions, billions of lines of code, thousands of people, internal and external. And now imagine you're the CIO and you have to manage this. And that's exactly where we help. And what we say is, because before Serene, there's no way that a CIO can manage these thousands of applications, thousands of people, across all global locations, and that's exactly what we're doing and where we're helping our customers.
When we talk about software development, we often focus on the developers who write the code. You've chosen instead to focus on creating visual business analytics for senior management. Why do you think serving the C-suite should be the priority for enterprise companies providing deep tech solutions?
Well, I think it's a blend, right? There are awesome tools out there that help programmers program faster, program better, analyze code so they can fix, you know, security issues or bugs. And obviously those are very, very important tools. And you know, there's many of these and many big companies that offer these tools. But what we're saying, this is great, and that has to be, right? But we're looking at it from kind of like the top-down perspective to say, okay, developers have these tools to develop better, to be faster, to be more efficient, but what does senior management, CIOs and VP engineering have to really make sure that they allocate their resources, their developers, internal and external, right? And that's exactly what we're doing. So if you go to any CIO, and if a CIO is listening and or VP engineering, you ask yourself the question, where is my development budget going into? So let's assume you have 50 developers, you have 100, you have 1,000 developers. Do you really know where your development capacity? So where are your people working on all of your applications, when and how long, and what are they doing? No one can answer this. It's a complete black hole. Another question that you can ask a CIO or a CIO can ask him or herself is, do you really know who your best outsourcers are? So, is it an IBM, an Accenture, the traditional ones, or is it more a Tata, a Wipro? Do you know who's doing the best work for you? And again, the answer that you will get from CIOs and VP engineers, no. There's no fact-based way to really find out. Third question that you can answer, ask them, and they probably don't have an answer, especially if it's a bigger organization. Do you really know who your best people are? The ones that you have to incent to stay, the ones that you can use if there's a big project that cannot be failing. Do you know that? And the answer, again, is no. And that's exactly where we help and why we took this top-down approach.
How are you able to determine that a company is wasting more than 30% of their productivity on ineffective software management? Touch on that, if you would.
Sure. It's a big number, right? And that's what we hear when we talk to folks. But it's very true. I mean, we've done this across all of our customers, and we've never found less than 30%. So it's even sometimes more. And the reason is, we look into something that has not been looked at before, and that's how code is built and how people are working on this code. So let's make an example. Let's pick one of your applications, and our SaaS platform connects to this application and reads out of this application how code is built. And then we have a couple of metrics, and one of our key metrics is complexity, and how we define complexity is what slows people down or what makes people make mistakes. So you can have for the technical listeners, you can have an academic discussion on what is software complexity. What we say, we don't care, because for us, software complexity is what slows people down and what makes them make mistakes, because as a manager and as a company, that's where your investment goes. That's where your dollars are going in terms of maintaining and writing code. So we look at how that software system is built. And again, complexity, as in what slows people down. And then we also look at, from your internal systems, we only connect to internal systems, where your people working on these areas of code. And now, if we find an area of code that is highly complex, meaning it slows people down, and if we can show that a lot of your development capacity is going exactly into these areas, then we can help you, and we can help you to set KPIs to fix those areas and realize those efficiencies. And that's exactly what we've done. And the cool thing is, it's completely independent of technology. So now there's many different programming languages out there, and we've done it on very old ones, like a 30, 40-year-old COBOL system, and we've done it on very new, state-of-the-art Silicon Valley software like Elasticsearch or the Android operating system for the phones, and we've always seen the same things. It's never less than 30%, and one of the across all technologies, and one of the reason is, because it's people working on code, right? It's people that are programming this. And sometimes people take shortcuts. Sometimes people are under pressure. Sometimes people don't have or don't get enough time to do things right because they're under pressure. And that's exactly how you get these things. And So we flag these. We flag the areas where we visualize it, you know, and we flag these areas where you know, that slows people down, and show where your development capacities go in. And then you can set KPIs with our platform to reduce this, and that's how you get to this minimum 30% number.
Excellent info here today. We're joined by Oliver Muir, CEO of Serene, that gives corporations the ability to better manage software development by making invisible software visible here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. You can also follow our programming on Twitter, simply at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Have you ever considered starting your own business? If the answer is yes, then you're going to need a killer logo, business card, and or web design. This is where designcrowd.com can help. Here's how it works. Visit designcrowd.com and post a request describing the design that you need. For example, a logo design. Designcrowd will then invite its 500,000 designers to respond. Within hours, you'll receive your first design, and over the course of 3 to 10 days, a typical project will receive 60 to 100 plus designs from different designers around the world. You then get to pick the best design and approve payment to the designer. If you do post a project but don't find a design that you want, no worries. Design Crowd has a money back guarantee. In summary, crowdsourcing design on Design Crowd will save you money, time, and help you find the best design possible for your budget. Check out designcrowd.com/epodcast for a special VIP offer for Enterprise Radio listeners, or simply enter the discount code EPN when you're posting a project on Design Crowd. Now, Mr. Muir, you have clients across many industries, including car manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, retail, and telco. What issues do all of these industries face, and how does Serene account for industry-specific problems?
You know, software is very horizontal, right? Software is code, and people are working on it. So by definition, it really doesn't matter what industries you're looking at, because every industry that has software and internal software has the same things that we've been talking about. Now, you know, there's some where it's obviously that are more reliant on software. So those industries that have a high IT spend as their overall, you know, cost base, think about financial services, telecommunications, or of course software companies, right? That's obviously where you know, there's a lot of opportunity. And then if you combine these industries that I mentioned with what's going on in the industry itself. So is there a lot of disruption going on? Is there a lot of cost pressure going on? Is it more an industry where there's heavily invested? And then you can kind of like triangulate. So if you have a big, you know, IT heavy industry that is under disruption and under pressure, think about banking or think about financial services, then obviously those you know, issues are amplified and the need is way higher, right? As if there's an industry where it's heavily invested, and it's just about writing as much code as you can. But, you know, by the definition, software is horizontal. So we, you know, Serene, we play across every industry, and you know, that's a good thing, because software is horizontal and it doesn't have any industry boundaries.
And lastly, visualization as a concept has been around for a while. Why do you think you were the first to connect software analytics and visualization?
It's a very good question. And I think we're unique because we're deeply rooted in the Hasso-Plattner Institute, which is a university. The founder of SAP, Hasso-Plattner, created in Germany, and one of our co-founders is a professor there, and he specializes in how to look at complex software systems and how to look at visualizing dependencies and things in those software systems. And that's a very unique, you know, skill set and a very unique research area. And so he's basically applying, you know, big data and visualization principles, not on financial data or on logistics data, but on software itself. And there, you know, it's not just that you have a database and you have some data that you can visualize in a very nice way. It's you have to put a lot of effort in terms of, you know, this has to work across all technologies, because big software systems are a combination of programming languages, a combination of programming of technologies, and therefore you have to normalize across all that. You have to find common themes, and you have to find a way of visualize this going back in history, you know, predicting stuff going forward. So this is highly complex, and there we're very lucky that, you know, this is rooted in this academic research. I mean, we've done 5 or 6 years of academic research with many, many PhDs that have been working on this. And, you know, we found this business application that it solves a lot of pain for the industries. And that's when we decided to found that company. And that's kind of like the history on why this is so unique globally. There's nothing like it out there.
Certainly has been an interesting conversation and interesting information as well, and thanks for getting us up to speed. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, takeaways, or a final tip along the lines of today's discussion?
No, I hope it was interesting. Feel free to check us out on the web, www.serene.com. My name is Oliver Muir, and feel free to send me an email and reach out directly.
Well, Oliver, we certainly do appreciate your time. Certainly has been our pleasure, and continued success, and look forward to another visit with you right here on Enterprise Radio. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Thank you very much.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Oliver Muir, CEO of Serene, that gives corporations the ability to better manage software development by making invisible software visible. And for more information and for contact, simply visit Serene.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
We'd like to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd.com. Whether you're a startup or an accountant, a blogger, or a photographer, DesignCrowd.com, with over 500,000 designers from around the world and money-back guarantee, is the best way to outsource or crowdsource design. If you're thinking about starting a business, a website, or an app, start today and take the first step by crowdsourcing your logo design, business card design, or website design from DesignCrowd. Visit designcrowd.com/epodcast and get a special VIP custom design offer.